We're talking about The Jungle Book. If you haven't seen it, take a look. It's probably my favorite animated film. Today we'll learn about elephants and bears and panthers and baby's milk. So enjoy the show and compliment your friends. Give them a call, or if you see them in person, just let them know. Here's an example. You could say, you look great today. Or you could say, hey, I really appreciate our friendship and everything you've done for me, and I love you. It's not weird to say I love you to friends, by the way. You could say that, and it's totally cool. I guess what I'm saying is that this movie just puts me in a humanity-loving, kindness-sharing mood and mindset, and I hope it does for you, too. And if you're a poacher, seriously, reconsider what you're doing. There's a lot of exciting fields you can get into nowadays with green technology and or, you know, do old school, you know, be a carpenter or a blacksmith or something, but stop poaching and start coaching Little League. That's another job that you could do. Okay, I'm done. Let's get to the show.
Bad science. Did the movie get it right? Bad science. Or will we have to fight? Bad science.
Welcome to Bad Science. I, as always, am your host, Ethan Edinburgh. And today we are talking about one of my favorite films of all time. I think I may have seen this film more than any other film. It's possible. Dumb and Dumber is going to be up there, but I think this one has got to be in the top three, top five at least. We're talking about The Jungle Book from 1967, the animated version. And I'm here with two of my best pals, comedy music duo, yes. Aaron and Melissa. How are you guys doing?
Great.
So good.
All right. And we are joined, of course, by Dr. Jim Dines, the mammalogy collections manager at the Natural History Museum.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. We didn't hear his rex before.
Yeah, we didn't. We just knew his name.
We didn't know his resume.
I like to keep things as a surprise here at Bad Science. How's it going, Jim?
Excellent. Happy to be here.
Okay, fantastic.
Great. What's the weirdest thing you have that you're maintaining?
The weirdest thing? I mean, you're asking someone who... has so many cool things. I don't think of them as weird.
Okay, coolest. Top three. Yeah. Something from the top three.
Yeah.
Okay, so one of the coolest thing, it sits right outside my office door, and it's a narwhal skull with a 9-foot-long tusk.
You are talking to your target audience right now. We are a big narwhal household.
That's true.
All right, I hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, you really nailed it.
All right.
So wait, what does that mean that you're a narwhal household?
Well, I mean, we have them, we have paintings.
We have a lot of narwhal art. We have narwhal Christmas ornaments.
Wow.
We just have a lot of narwhal stuff.
I went to exhibit when I was maybe 5 or 6, and the narwhal exhibit really stuck with me too. I just remember being like, that thing's crazy.
Man, well, I'm glad that we're getting off to a good start on the right foot.
Kindred spirits.
Yeah. Kindred spirits, I'd say.
Wow, we're going to solve a lot of problems here today.
Yeah. Get your notepads out, guys. And speaking of things, Aaron, that really stuck with you as a child.
Okay.
The Jungle Book from 1967, animated musical comedy film. How do you guys...
Comedy film.
That's how it was described. How do you guys feel about this movie?
Well, we rewatched it last night.
Mm-hmm, same.
Got real bored, I'll be honest.
Oh my God,
really? I'm so sorry. I checked my phone a lot. But
I would have been so mad if we were watching together.
Yeah.
Did you not watch it a lot growing up? Is that what happened?
I did not watch that one a ton.
Mm-hmm.
My dad used to call me an orangutan, so mm-hmm. that King Louie guy always brought up a lot of jokes in our house. So we, fast forward
through
that. Trying
to stay away from.
Uh huh. And then I never really understood why that one tiger was so mean and so mad.
Mm-hmm.
And
Shere Khan.
Yeah,
he's a tiger.
And then.
You need a villain, I guess.
Where were the other tigers? Was it just him?
I don't know. Yeah, good call. There's kind of just one of most of these things.
That's true. They're the beetles, the buzzards.
Right.
So
they
got
but it's really like a Noah's Ark version of the jungle. Yeah.
Yeah, good call.
See, Jungle Book was big in my house.
Yeah.
A lot. And then when I got a little older, we were even big on the live action Jungle Book.
Okay.
And I told Aaron last night that I realized then that the cartoon Jungle Book took place in India. I always thought it was, because I am Latin American, I thought Mowgli was Hispanic.
Right, sure.
All growing up. And so when I saw the Jungle Book, the live action one, I was like, oh, this one's in India. And then last night I was like, oh, this is clearly in India. But as a child, right. I didn't know what India was.
Right.
So I was like, Mowgli is me. And then they do a version where he's in India. And then last night I was like, there is landscape that they've drawn in of like, this is not Latin America. Grew up this entire time thinking it was.
I don't even know when I was little where it was taking place. I just assumed the jungle.
Yeah.
That's all that I got to. Yeah. So wait, and when did the live action one come out? Do you know?
I don't remember.
I feel like it's every other year.
It must have been like a middle school. It was like Mowgli grown up. And so that one had like the British government in it. And that one was a little bit like, oh, this is, I could tell by then, like, this is not in Latin America.
Okay, so kind of more leaning towards the Aaron side of things, as far as didn't mean a whole ton to you growing up, not one of your favorite Disney films, etc.
Mm. Oh, no.
No, it was one of her favorite.
It was like a regularly playing film.
Okay, great. So we'll have plenty to discuss.
Yeah.
Jim, before weighing in on the live action, what'd you think about the animated 1967 film?
So, yeah, also I grew up watching that, and I was a favorite. But as well as an adult, so I have kids, they're kind of older for that now, but you kind of, when you're a parent of kids, you kind of relive your childhood watching, you know, animated features like that. So, you know, I would say I'm a fan.
Okay.
And of course, because it has all these mammals in it, I'm a huge fan.
Of course.
I do have to say, yeah. I was a huge fan of the soundtrack.
Yes.
I got 10 CDs for the price of one when I was like in the seventh grade. Uh-huh. And I just got Jungle Book. I got Amy Grant, Heart in Motion. I got like one MC Hammer CD I wasn't allowed to listen to. But like the Jungle Book, because it's got the trombone, lots of like actual like really good trombone licks. Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'm down. I love
all
the
about
music.
That. Okay, great. I mean, I'm sure we can all agree on that. Yes, the music stands the test of time.
Yeah.
All its own. I know you watched also the live action version we were talking before we started recording here. Is that the same one that Melissa's talking about?
No. This is another Disney feature film. It came out, I think, in 2016.
Ah, the more updated. The Jon Favreau,
exactly.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
You are correct.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got you. And that one you said was good.
I'm a huge fan of that one, and we can talk about why if you want.
I want to.
I'm listening.
Sell us on that.
Largely, you know, we can go back to talking about which jungle this is supposedly taking place in. Mm-hmm. But the thing that really, really struck me with the most recent one, the Favreau version, is how realistic the mammals are in terms of the species that are represented there and how they're represented. And moreover, you know, it's supposedly taking place in India, right? So the original cartoon version, 1967, they had King Louis was an orangutan. Well, if you know your mammal biogeography, orangutans do not occur in India. Mm. So, you know, that's just I mean, I wasn't there in the production room, but someone figured out, you know, that's, we got to correct this. And so King Louis was actually represented by a Gigantopithecus, which is, it's extinct, but actually would have occurred in, you know, on the Indian subcontinent. So,
okay, so they did some more research going into 2016's.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And it was just a good film? Besides that?
I have to say, it was a great film. I was really drawn in. You know...
some tears?
I don't remember any tears coming out, but...
Okay. Sounds like a yes.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. You don't remember any tears?
Don't put him on the spot.
That's right.
No, I wouldn't do that.
You caught me.
Got him.
But, you know, there's enough with newer Disney feature films that come out. Mm-hmm. There's enough adult content that only someone with some experience in life is going to get that, you know, also draws in the adults, I think.
Right. Yes. Pixar does a good job of that stuff. Yeah. But live action, I don't know, it's tough, I guess. So before we get too deep into it, because I don't want to give away the answers, I have a game I want to play with you guys.
Okay.
And I don't even know how this is going to go because I didn't know pretty much all of this information. But the game is Who Dis Disney Dude?
Who Dis Disney Dude?
So
what's up?
Who dis? Disney dude?
Okay.
Ethan just had a seizure.
Okay.
And I'm back. Yeah. Okay, so the voice actors in this movie are unbelievable. And some of them sounded familiar.
Yes.
So
we discussed that last night.
Oh, okay, perfect. So I had to look it up, and I have some information here, and so I thought we could go through. I'm going to tell you who these guys are. I'm going to give you their name, and you could maybe, if you can, guess what character they are, or what other character they might have played in a Disney film from that same time period.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
And we're allowed to use our phones?
Absolutely not.
Okay, just
saying. Okay.
And just before we start, I want to talk about Bill Pete. Do you guys know who Bill Pete is?
No.
So he's not one of the voices, but he was like the go-to story man, they called it. He was like Walt Disney's right-hand dude when it came to stories. So much so that he was like the only guy in that time period who was allowed to completely write screenplays himself. Usually it was like a team of people or Disney and whoever the hell else. But this guy, for like 101 Dalmatians and The Sword and the Stone, I think, just like was given free reign. So he was like the guy.
Wow.
And he was working on The Jungle Book and made this whole treatment. And then during the process, they disagreed on the plot, Disney and Pete. And so while that was happening, so much so, there was disagreement that he left and never returned to Disney.
Ooh.
So Jungle Book was the last of the Pete involvement.
Wow.
And then this guy, Clemens, took over, Larry Clemens, and finished the whole thing. And this was Larry Clemens' first animated feature.
Hmm. Good job, Larry.
So pretty cool.
Well, I wonder what this Pete guy was going to do with the movie.
He was kind of
really
taking
it.
Liked it. No.
I might have. I don't know.
I don't think he would have. He was taking it in a more like dark approach, dark direction, because the original book or like series of stories, The Jungle Book, which I think was in like 18 something by Kipling, was what's much more dark. So I think he wanted to like pay homage to that and make it dark, and then
Mowgli gets torn to shreds by Shere Khan's family.
Yeah, the movie ends 3/4 in.
Bagheera has to go on like a revenge killing.
Yeah, it's really the story of Bagheera's revenge.
Yeah.
Mowgli dies early. Okay, so let's get into the game here. The first one is Phil Harris. Do you guys know?
What song we talked about?
We talked about Baloo the Bear.
I'm just going to give you the point on that one because Phil Harris voiced Baloo the Bear.
Okay, good.
Wow, good.
So
okay,
good. That's a point automatic.
That's the one we talked about.
Do you know who, like, what else he might have voiced, possibly?
I feel like half these people also did, like, Winnie the Pooh characters. So, like, people are,
yes,
like, Piglet and Owl.
Mm-hmm.
And
But this guy is the, he's the sheriff of, is he the sheriff of Nottingham?
Oof, you're so close.
What,
I can't believe you're even that close.
In Robin Hood.
Yeah, he is in Robin Hood from 1973 as Little John.
And he's still a bear.
Still a bear, yeah.
Still giving
yeah.
you points on that one
okay.
because it was unbelievable.
Wow, this game is great.
Again, because I didn't know. So
okay.
I went into this like, it's going to be zeros across the board. You guys are already doing fantastic.
Wow, what a brain trust we are, guys.
Yeah,
big time. And then...
Is he in another one?
He was, yes, in another one. Do you want to guess another one? I can give you the title.
Give me the title.
There's no rules
maybe
here.
I can get the thing.
Yeah.
Okay, he was in The Aristocats from 1970.
Oh, he would have definitely played a fat guy.
O'Malley.
Yes, Thomas
cat?
O'Malley. That's
wow.
great.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Also, just so you know,
I didn't have parents, just Disney movies.
Just films.
Yeah.
Disney films.
It's that.
He improvised what?
He improvised most of his lines in The Jungle Book. I thought that was cool because he felt
Well, was he high?
I don't know. Maybe. Or just really into jazz.
Yeah.
Same
a
thing.
A lot of like talk scatting.
Yeah.
That happened. Okay. Sebastian Cabot.
Oh, I remember him from, there was a TV show, The Family Affair.
I think so. I think you're right on that. I don't have the information in front of me.
Is he Bagheera? Is he the old man?
He is Bagheera.
Okay.
Wow.
We are killing
it's unbelievable.
Game.
2-2.
Okay, which one's Bagheera?
Bagheera is the old, like...
The panther.
Yeah. Oh, the panther.
The black
saggy,
panther.
Saggy britches or whatever.
Saggy britches.
Doesn't that what he calls him?
No, Baloo calls him Little Britches.
Oh. No.
Little Bridges?
He calls the guy Saggy something.
Oh, yeah, Saggy as Baggy.
Baggy.
He refers
baggy,
to Bagheera as Baggy a few times. That's true.
Okay.
Okay, so Bagheera was also the narrator in The Jungle Book.
Oh, okay.
You know, and he was also the narrator of two other Disney films from that time period.
Also Robin Hood?
No.
Dang it.
Sleeping Beauty opens with a book, but I don't know if that has a narrator. Sword in the Stone?
Jim, what's going on over there? Oh, yes, first of all, Sword in the Stone. Sword in the Stone is correct.
Okay.
His narrator's Sword in the Stone.
I've done my duty here.
The other one you mentioned earlier, actually.
Aristocrats? Aristocats?
No.
What did I mention earlier?
101 Dalmatians.
I was the one who mentioned that one. She's just dressed like that.
I am dressed like
that. She kind of has like a white and black.
The Rescuers? Sleeping Beauty? No.
We never said Rescuers yet.
You said some of these people were also...
Oh, Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh.
Oh,
so from all those Winnie the Pooh films from 66 to 77, Sebastian Cabot was the narrator.
Cleaning.
Oh. Wow.
Sebastian Cabot is his dead body probably, he's probably passed on, is probably still just occupying a Beverly Hills home.
Yeah.
That's his tomb. It's just a huge house in Beverly Hills. Okay, Louis Prima.
King Louis.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Wow.
I saw that coming a mile away.
I mean, 3-3. You guys are doing unbelievable. Jim, I'm not counting your points, but
no.
Whoa, it's
glad you're not a narwhal.
Glad you're not counting points.
Yeah.
Nope, not counting points. As a group, you guys are 3-3. That's all that I know.
I need to ask, though, and maybe you don't know, but if the name King Louis, because a lot was improvised, was it named because the guy's name was Louis?
Yes, I believe it was.
Wow.
And a lot of that entire sequence was inspired by Louis Prima and his band. They would do a Las Vegas show, and he would actually go into the audience, into the aisles, with their instruments, and
eat
they would
bananas.
Play and eat a lot of bananas.
Shove bananas into that kid's mouth. That was upsetting.
He was hungry. No, they would just...
bananas. Just two bananas in this kid's mouth.
Everybody holds up a three.
Yeah.
I love that.
True.
Anyways, so very cool. The animators saw Louis Prima and his band play and then did the sequence like based on them, which I thought was really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But I don't know what that guy's voice, what else he's done.
Louis Prima?
Yeah. No, the King Louis.
He wasn't in other things.
Oh, okay, great.
Actually,
okay,
I just wanted to talk about Louis Prima because he's so cool. Did like New Orleans jazz music and he released a bunch of records and they're great. Sterling Holloway.
The elephant.
No.
The snake.
Yes.
He was also the snake.
No,
he wasn't the snake. He was the lion.
Oh.
Was he the lion?
So I don't have here everything else he's done because Sterling Holloway was in a bunch of Disney stuff.
But he was for sure in Robin Hood.
Okay. I'm going to believe you.
I don't know.
I'll check and get back to you.
They did have a snake in Robin Hood.
They did, and they have like a very similar voice. But
I have two characters that are like really famous that he voiced.
Okay, whatever.
But...
We'll give you the points.
If
you tell us.
I get points? Ooh.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay, wait. Maybe Melissa knows.
She's cranking it out. Here's her turning.
I don't know.
She doesn't know. Jim,
wait,
bring us home,
no,
Jim.
Wait. No.
Nothing?
Nothing.
It's the snake. It's the. I think he really plays the...
Is he Piglet?
No.
No.
Well, if he was a snake again, he's totally typecast.
I know.
Like a snake rolls.
Actually, I think he's the lion, or not the lion, the dorky, the brother that wants to be the king but isn't the king, the bad king in Robin Hood. I think he's either that guy or
I know who you're talking about, but also
the snake.
Also no. Guys, he's the Cheshire Cat in Alice in Wonderland.
I hate that movie.
And he is Winnie the Pooh.
Oh,
I should have
known.
Melissa.
That's a good one.
So close.
Okay, here's another one, and this will just be the last one. George Sanders. You want to guess who he played in Jungle Book first?
You think the elephant?
My bet would be the elephant at this point.
It's
no,
not the elephant.
Oh, who else is there?
He's got a really great voice.
Shere Khan?
Shere Khan is the answer.
He does have a great voice.
And he wasn't, I don't think, in other Disney movies, but he did win an Academy Award in 1950 for playing Addison DeWitt in All About Eve.
Mm.
He was a proper actor.
Yeah.
How'd they get him for that?
They probably just said, like, check this out. It's the Jungle Book. And he was like, oh, sick.
Sick. Yeah.
Whatever you want.
Who
I'll do it for free.
Is Sterling K. Brown doing it? Or Sterling something? It's fine.
Sterling Holloway.
Sterling Holloway.
Sterling K. Brown, this is us.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Who do you guys think that they wanted to get to play the Vultures?
The Beatles.
That's correct. They asked the Beatles to be, and it was, you know, based on the Beatles, even in the movie that we watched, but obviously the Beatles said no.
Rude.
And I think I have the reason. Oh, John Lennon's refusal. He didn't want to work on animated films in that period. So that idea to use the Beatles was discarded. They were also going to use a more like up-tempo kind of rock song for that. That's what Friends Are For song. And then they threw that out because Walt Disney said that it would be like dating it. And they did the whole Barbershop Quartet song, which I think is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
So there you go. That's some Disney knowledge for you guys.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Just to get us going, favorite tune. I go back and forth myself. I'll let you guys weigh in. We can list the songs.
So for me, it's Bare Necessities. It always just gets stuck in my head.
Stone
the
cold
lyrics
hit.
Are great.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. I think that would be mine too.
Okay.
Yeah, King Louis is another really great one.
I Want to Be Like You.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That I think that one for me is the winner.
Yeah.
I got to say. I love Bare Necessities, but that song is too good. Really gets me going. I groove out.
I groove out, baby.
I really do. I dance. I sing along. It's addictive to me.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
It's great. Then when you think of those, like, Baloo ends up being the lead of Tailspin. That theme of that TV show is also very amazing and, like, sometimes will get stuck in my head.
Spin-off. Like, it's like Frasier.
Yeah. Now you think of TV shows and none of them have, like,
the theme songs.
Yeah, like they don't last.
Oh, right. You don't think about them 20 years later.
Yeah.
Or they're just like kind of weird for 8 seconds and then the show starts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But sometimes if you like get a line going in your head, it's like you have to finish out Bare Necessities privately in a corner because you're like, I can't until I get to the part about the Big Pawpaw.
Yeah.
So maybe try a few.
Oh, man. So good. Great. I guess we're all...
Yeah, we're all in.
We're split on that, but I also love the sound effects in this movie because a lot of them were instruments, just harping on the music thing. Mm-hmm. I thought that was super cool and innovative. I have a bunch of science stuff for you, Jim. I mean, obviously, you guys can weigh in. If you haven't seen the movie, we can briefly do a synopsis. It's basically Bagheera, this panther, finds a man cub, as they call a baby human, and decide that he's going to be killed if he's out by himself. And so he takes him to these wolves, and then he decides these wolves are going to raise him until he's like, I don't know, what are you guys, 10?
We guessed
12?
Eight. Yeah, we were guessing eight.
Eight?
Eight to 10, I think is.
Okay, you actually have kids. Want to weigh in? How old do you think Mowgli is?
They're girls, but yeah, I would. You're in the neighborhood, 8 to 10.
Okay,
yeah.
So when he's about 8 to 10, the wolves have this big session where they decide Bagheera's coming, this tiger's coming, and he's gonna kill our weird son, man cub. And so he's got to go back to the man village. They decide to give him to Bagheera, who's gonna take him to the man village, and that's the whole story, basically. It's just their adventures trying to get to the man village, which they eventually do, and he becomes infatuated with a girl
woman.
Cub.
Yeah, he immediately becomes
woman
13
cub.
Years old.
It's like, right.
Yo, 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 yo.
What is that?
Yeah. Wait, can I ask my first question to
please.
The scientist?
Please.
Well, maybe you guys know. I don't know. But, okay, so the very beginning is Bagheera finds this little baby, and then he's like, it will take me too long to get this baby back because it needs nourishment.
Right.
So let's... here's this wolf family. This lady just had some babies. So then it's like quietly just like assumed this baby is now handed to this wolf, right?
Yep.
And then what you don't see is a human nursing a wolf.
Oh, that's a good question.
So that's my first question is, does that work and what?
Okay, both.
Well, I don't know how to answer the what.
Yeah.
Try your best.
Yeah. I'll try my best. So, I mean, you need to get down to the understanding of what milk is, what lactation is. Okay, so that's one of the features of mammals, right? Producing milk to nourish the young. And milk has all sorts of different things in it, proteins, sugars, antibodies. And that's why it's so important to nourish young mammals on the mother's milk. But the thing there is that human milk is different from even cow's milk, certainly different from milk that you would find in dogs or cats or wolves. And the content is different. So right away you start getting into problems with. It's really not the right kind of milk for nourishment of a human baby. But moreover, why would a wolf nurse a human baby, right? That kind of behavior in the wild doesn't happen.
Would they eat that kid?
More likely to eat it. Although, you know, I do think I remember one of my professors early on, Dr. Jim Waters, and he made this big deal about, you know, puppies are cute and little kittens are cute and human babies are cute. And it's kind of this evolutionary feature that all young mammals are cute, and that's to prevent the adult mammals from eating them. Although there are a couple of exceptions where infanticide is actually pretty common, but we're getting far astray of your question here. Could it happen?
Yeah, no.
Could it happen? No, and you know, you go back through.
Podcast over. Sorry.
Thank you guys so much. Sorry. See you next time.
But you know, littered throughout folklore and history, we have examples given where human babies are nursed by female wolves or other kinds of mammals. You know, what comes to mind is Romulus and Remus, the so-called founders of ancient Rome, and they were supposedly abandoned and in the wild were suckled by a she-wolf, right? So, you know, that's the legend of the founding of Rome, but there's no evidence behind that. And, you know, you can look throughout history and see multiple examples of that kind of thing, but nothing has ever been factually proven. And in fact, more often the case, you see that things are disproven, where you hear of examples of feral humans being raised in the wild by, you know, any other kind of mammal.
People like Marcos Rodriguez Pantoja, who I found out was raised by wolves, but maybe not.
But was he really?
I don't know.
Yeah. So, and the
luckily
other thing,
we have Marcos here, though.
Hey, come on in.
Hi, don't Marcos. Come in. You're crazy.
Don't come
but,
in.
You know, we can dissect this a lot. So a nursing wolf is almost like the same way that a domestic dog would be nursing. So the milk consistency is different from what a human needs, but also she wouldn't be able to provide enough milk for a human cub.
We need more milk than
a
wolf.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Humans
being accurate.
You know, think about it. You know, humans nurse their offspring for, you know, 6 months or you know, even more than that. And the maximum that you'll see a wild canid like a wolf nursing would be, you know, 8 weeks. And the milk goes dry. She does not nurse anymore.
Wow. So you this baby off. Is getting cut off
yeah,
early.
Exactly.
Unless she
exactly.
has a bunch of wolf female friends that could all line up
also
and,
having babies.
Well, yeah. But you know, if you look at the wolf society, there's a dominant male and a dominant female, mm-hmm. and the subdominant females aren't the ones nursing.
Okay.
So,
well, since we're on milk, which I didn't think we were going to get so deep into swimming in the milk, but I like it.
Right. You're swimming in the milk.
Yeah. Okay.
We're all swimming in the milk here together, and we drink cow's milk, goat's milk. How do you feel about that?
Almond milk.
How do I feel about
we
it?
We milk almonds. No, just, you know, because you're saying that the contents of the milk are different, mm-hmm. and that we need a certain type of milk when we're young, and then we don't need it anymore, right? But we still love milk.
Right. So milk that you see from domestic cows, domestic sheep, even goats, is actually pretty similar to the content that you would find in human milk.
But why do we need to, or is it just a want thing?
Oh, it's a want for sure. I mean, who likes cheese, right?
I love cheese.
See?
cheese.
Okay.
Cheese.
So it's definitely just the desire. There isn't it's I guess what I'm asking you, it's like, would you say it's healthy or unhealthy to drink milk?
So if you were talking to a nutritionist, they would probably say it's unhealthy, and certainly for adults to be drinking milk, it's
okay.
unhealthy. But no, all the nourishment that human milk provides, you know, that's when the human baby is, you know, less than a year old.
Okay.
And here's something I got to ask. No one wants me to ask it.
But I do.
I don't even want to ask it myself.
Yep.
Should we be drinking human milk later in life?
Wow, didn't know that
was. Yeah, I didn't know that was coming in.
Guys, we got to find out while we're here. You know what I mean? From a scientist.
Yep.
Well, since I'm the only scientist in the room, the answer is no.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Did not think so.
Okay. See, just I had to double thought, check.
Well, I did have a friend tell me that she put a shot of breast milk in her husband's coffee and he didn't know. She was like, he's fine. So I was like,
oh, he's fine.
It's
is
a
he
weird
better,
trick.
Though?
Yeah.
Yeah. That,
she's like, it's full of antibodies and things like that.
I feel like they have a lot of arguments, those two.
They got other stuff.
Yeah, they got stuff. They got,
yeah, see, I always wondered, I was like, is it better? Like, who's the better actual animal? Because, like, wolves don't need help to, like, know. There's, like, instinctual things that kick in. I was like, but humans, like, we get lactation consultants. And I was like, I was telling Aaron, I was like, yeah, also, we don't, it's not cool if, like, one out of five of our babies die. So that's, like, the other side of it. But mm-hmm. I was yeah. like, there's, like, animals kind of know what to do. And we get, like, lots of books and podcasts right. and, like, specialists. I'm like, where's the animal side of us? It's just like, this baby will eat and live.
Yeah, it's been bred out of us.
I was going to just say that. Yeah, it died a long time ago, it feels like.
Domesticated.
Yep. Yeah, we just watch a commercial and think, yeah, milk's good for me. I just saw one recently. That's why I was asking so much, because it was really it. I could tell by the graphics that it was recently made. You know, it was like yeah. very almost like it had like trap music and stuff. Like,
oh wow!
You know, it
it's
was
like a dubstep music.
Yeah, it was like dubstep music video, but for milk.
For milk.
And it was, but it felt like a 1950s ad campaign. Just laying it on very thick on how healthy it is and how you feed it to your kids, you know, like they are the ones that need it and you need it too, and it's going to make you so strong. And so just
it's
hearing
a
you
lie.
It's according to Jim.
Melissa has laid her head down.
Melissa is passed
out. We're all
going
to be getting emails from people.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah,
that's
I
fine.
Love milk.
The milk mafia. So they're like, don't tell America that.
Let me ask you this. What could we, I mean, obviously there's milk substitutes, almond milk, like you were saying, Aaron, or, you know, what do they have?
Yes,
oat milk.
Coconut
they have
milk.
Coconut milk.
Just plain nut milk.
Yeah, just, that's what it's called. I believe you go to the store, plain nut milk. But is that what you would recommend as far as nutrition substitution? Are there other things?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. I mean,
that's what I thought.
So I don't want to misrepresent myself. I'm not a nutritionist. I'm a mammalogist.
Sure.
Okay. So I
yeah. Jim, what milk should we drink?
Yeah. 2%.
In the 2%. Natural History Museum, what are y'all drinking?
Yeah. What's in your fridge
these days?
I would get fired if I told you.
Uh-oh.
Oh, nice.
Just a bunch of dead animals in there, sounds like.
Yeah, dead animals. No, we're not allowed to do that.
Okay, good.
That's probably for the
know.
Best.
Don't store anything in the staff refrigerator.
Right. Noted.
Even on a pinch. Even on a pinch, Jim. Don't do it.
It's fake chicken. Okay, we're going to take a super quick break, and we will be right back.
Hey, everyone. This is Jesse David Fox, host of Good One, a podcast about jokes. I am proud to announce that I have personally won the Streaming Wars. And there's a new docu-special on Peacock based on our own Vulture podcast. Good One, a show about jokes, follows Mike Birbiglia as he develops new material, taking audiences through the process of transforming personal stories into stand-up. Featuring interviews with Mike's family and comedy colleagues like Seth Meyers, Hasan Minhaj, and Asko Akatsuka, Good One, a show about jokes, is streaming now only on Peacock.
The break is over. Here we go back to the show about science.
What relationships between species did you find accurate or inaccurate? Because
ooh, yes.
they seem to all get along besides that one weird tiger.
Well, I had a question because, like, Shere Khan over here, he's, like, listening in on their conversation. I'm like, can you even do that as a tiger to listening to a
language.
Bear talking to a jaguar, you know?
Good call.
I'm asking for other people. So, clearly, I know the answer, but if somebody else doesn't know,
right.
they might want to know from a mammalogist.
So, yeah, most of those relationships are not depicted accurately, right? A lot of these animals would be either eating each other or running from each other or hiding from each other. And, you know, then, of course, we have to get into this whole idea of these animals talking and all talking the same language.
Mm-hmm. So none of them can communicate. No animal. Are there any animals that have, you know, species to species communication?
Oh, for sure. There's, so animals communicate with each other, not by the language like English language, but they have many ways of communicating. It could be acoustic communication, visual communication, scents like pheromones. And there are, you know, I would say a fair number of instances where there's what we would call interspecific or between species communication.
Okay.
Not super common, but it's usually, you know, like warning of a predator nearby or, you know, something like that.
Gotcha.
It's not like friendship communication.
No.
I am very bummed about that. I love the idea of certain animals being friends with other species of animals. Why doesn't that happen? What's the deal?
Well, I've seen a few Instagram videos that feel like it argues that.
Here we go.
Like when, well, I don't think it argues it, but like what do you, when people have those things where they're like, they rescue like a raccoon and then it's like best friends with their dogs. Are they not talking to each other? Are they just like every day? They're like, this is my best friend. That's a weird looking raccoon.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I mean, there are plenty of examples of things like that. And what's going on there is there's no competition for resources. So especially in a domestic setting or even in the suburbs, you know, I've seen instances of raccoons and skunks and pet cats all eating out of the same bowl of kibble, you know?
Yeah.
And it's because it's plentiful resources. So there's no need for them to be competing for that. But, you know, in a wild environment, it's competition. It's, you know, the classic nature red in tooth and claw, you know, every individual for him or herself.
So as long as there's enough to go around, we're all cool.
Yeah.
And as humans, seems like there's enough to go around, I would say.
And we're not cool.
We are not
so
cool.
So what's our problem?
Yeah.
We should be more like wolves.
Yeah.
Jim's like, I am not.
Mammalogist. That falls in line.
Not touching that one.
Help us, Jim. Help us.
Jim, why are people rude to us? I think that's unnecessary. Okay. I have a lot of, I have just like fun facts about some of the main character animals. Elephants, for example, are like one of my favorite animals. I don't know how you guys feel.
They're super,
super
cool.
Into them.
Okay, everybody loves elephants here. I learned that the elephants are led by females. Is that true?
To a certain extent. Elephants have kind of a matriarchal dominated society where you have the cows and the calves, so the mothers and the little ones that are in the larger social group. So it's the moms and the aunts and the grandmas. And then the males tend to be often bachelor herds. So the younger males, once they become sexually mature, they leave the mother group, and kind of these adolescent males kind of hang out together till they become older, and then they become more solitary because
they get jobs.
They get jobs.
This would be a big building.
Well, yeah,
huge
but,
building.
But you know they kind of. Fight and determine who's going to become dominant. And but by and large, the social groups are matriarchal societies. Yeah.
Okay.
Which makes that joke in the movie so much funnier.
Right. Yes.
Huh? You guys remember that joke when he's like, "Ah, woman doesn't lead this group." Or whatever.
I won't have it. Whatever he says. Yeah.
Yeah.
He also like slaps her butt with a stick, I think, towards the beginning because she's like not standing up straight enough. I think that was like his wife.
Well, let's hope.
Let's hope they're both just into it.
Yeah, let's hope. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and then on a slightly... Well, I heard they were good swimmers. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, they love the water, okay? They need the water.
Are they swimming, though? Like, are we talking like body underwater, head out?
It's a good question, because when I read that, I was very curious. I had never pictured elephants swimming around.
No, they will swim, certainly, to get across bodies of water. They're...
Wow.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
That'd be so amazing to see
in real
life. I
feel like that's in the live action, the one nobody knows about, the one only I saw. I feel like they do. They swim because, they can go from island to island.
Oh, that's cool. I think that should be depicted more. I don't know why exactly, just because I haven't seen it. Okay, I also heard that they say a few times elephant never forgets, so I try to do some research on that, and that they have bigger brains than most people think. They're like very smart, and they can remember things from like years before. Can you comment on that?
Well, I can comment on it. So it's, you know, difficult to test. You can't give like an elephant an IQ test or a memory test, but there seems to be enough anecdotal evidence to suggest that they are super intelligent and do remember things. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you know, an elephant herd that comes across a graveyard and comes across bones of elephants, they'll use their trunks to handle the bones. And it's, you can kind of, and it's anthropomorphizing here, but you can kind of imagine that they're pulling up memories of their deceased relatives, their deceased ancestors.
Don't they also bury, like, don't they have, like, a funeral when someone dies? They, like, bury the elephant and, like, put stuff on top of it?
I mean, that's true. Then we get into this idea of anthropomorphizing, and, you know, we're imposing our human ideals on what the elephant culture is. And, you know, I don't think anyone knows for sure.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Maybe Ethan knows
emotional.
For sure. Yeah.
I don't know. I've seen some stuff on the dodo, and it makes me think that they have emotions.
Right? They paint.
They paint, apparently.
They mourn.
And it seems... Right, exactly. I feel like they mourn, but Jim has no idea what he's talking about. Can't trust... Wait. Can't trust Jim.
Did I not just say that they are mourning their dead relatives?
That was like the exact point that you were making. The exact point you were making. Just trying to push your buttons, Jim.
You worked.
The elephants was where we got Jim. Not the milking almonds.
He loves elephants, and I get it. So do I. Okay, so the sad part is that apparently we have a lot less elephants now because of poaching for ivory. So can you speak to that and let us know if there's anything we can do about it? Because supposedly, numbers-wise, it's like it's a tragedy. They say that it's possible that all of them could be gone by 2020.
That's in 2 years. That's in less than 2 years.
So...
Uh-oh.
What the heck?
No, they are in serious trouble. Elephants are in serious trouble. And it's because of the ivory that is in their tusks, right? So it's highly valuable on the black market. People pay vast sums of money for that ivory.
And what's special about the ivory, first of all? Can we start there?
What's special about it?
Yeah, I mean, I understand that it's like a rarity, right? But yeah. I mean, what are they doing with the ivory?
A lot of times it's ending up in art. So carved ivory, you know, it's...
You can't make art out of whatever, wood?
Yeah, but it's not ivory. Ivory's special.
Supposedly it's pretty.
Yeah.
Damn it. I hate that answer.
I don't know.
All right. Sorry. Keep going.
Keep going.
No, like, I mean, I understand why. I guess that it's rare.
So,
and
so
that
obviously,
use
you're very enlightened, and you understand that, you know, elephant ivory should not be taken for artistic purposes. But
yes.
You know, there's still a lot of people in this world who feel otherwise.
So can't they take ivory without killing an elephant? You wouldn't want to get that close to an elephant mouth,
yeah,
I guess.
Elephant's not going to let you.
Yeah, I kind of want to keep that.
Okay, fair enough.
I think I'm more important than the dumb art you're about to make with this stolen ivory, you murderer. So this is happening all over, wherever there's elephants, I guess, right? There's poachers?
Particularly in southern Africa, where there are remaining elephants. So we should... back up a step.
Okay.
We can talk about Asian elephants and African elephants. So, okay. You know, two major kinds. And in Africa, there are actually two species of elephant, what we call the savanna or bush elephant and the forest elephant. And then there's the Asian elephant, which is, you know, found in India and surrounding areas. But they're all endangered. The African elephants have bigger tusks, found both on males and females. And they're tend to be out in the open, savanna, for example, and so more susceptible to that kind of behavior, poaching. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the populations have plummeted, despite being protected by U.S. laws and international laws. It's just one of those things.
I mean, how are we losing this war here? Are there just not enough people staffed? Is the government just not sending the enough, like a big enough group out there? What's the problem?
Well, we're talking about multiple governments in Africa. But, you know, even in the so-called preserves, the nature reserves that are protected areas, there just are not enough resources, not enough rangers to protect the elephants that are in those areas.
And that's probably just like money allocated to that cause.
Well, yeah. I mean, these countries aren't super rich like we are here. You know? So.
Well, and I have to imagine that with enough money, someone who's protecting an elephant like is like these people that are going are millionaires. They're loaded. So nothing. They just get to do whatever they want if they give a person enough money. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
I suspect there's a lot of bribery that goes on with the rangers, too. So.
Yeah.
And how long does it take for a elephant to become mature?
So they live about the same as humans. Well, not quite as long. 55 to 60 years is an old elephant. In terms of developing the big tusks like that, they're late teenagers, like 14, 15, 16.
And there's no other way to make ivory?
Well, no, it's a natural substance. So ivory is found, what we call ivory, it's found in walrus tusks. Mm-hmm. The narwhal tusk that we referenced earlier, that's considered ivory.
Narwhal.
That's full circle.
Yeah, circle right there.
Full circle.
Okay. Sorry I'm bummed out, guys.
That's okay.
I just want to save the elephants. I don't know what to do.
We gotta go. We gotta find millionaires. We gotta kill them.
Yeah.
Kill the millionaires.
Let's
campaign.
Do it. Go to
the black market. Burn it down.
We'll find the people running the black market. We'll kill those people.
Or maybe let's just send out a message to them right now because I'm sure they're fans of the podcast.
Black market people love podcasts.
Leaders of the black market. Please leave these elephants alone and stop taking their tusks.
You know what's not cool anymore? Ivory. Ivory is lame. Ivory. No one cares about
ivory. If you see someone in their house, they got something ivory.
Shame them.
Kill them too.
Yeah, kill them.
You know what's cool? Like,
what's cool?
Like cork.
Cork is cool.
Stuffed on
sand.
Canvases.
What do you guys think of sand?
Sand paper. Is beautiful. Everyone should have sand in their homes.
And in their art.
Recyclables. So just like know that
compost.
If you're like on the black market, I'm willing to pay a lot of money for some cork, some hot cork, reusable cork. Spread that around.
Black market.
Yeah. Also,
leaders.
Like, people don't sell people on the black market.
Black market really doesn't have what I want. I want Menchie's and pizza, and so and cork, lots of that.
And willing to pay top dollar.
Yeah.
Hot.
Let's talk about bears.
Let's talk about them.
I have a few here things here. So it says the most accurate way to determine the age of a bear is to count the rings in a cross section of its tooth.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that's what biologists do.
That's the same as a tree.
Exactly.
I really thought you were lying.
No. I thought you were
right?
making
doesn't
a joke.
Doesn't that sound
crazy?
Yeah.
Is totally it the same true. With us? Crack one of our teeth open?
No, doesn't work with us.
Crack a tooth open?
Why does it work for bears?
You can just check your ID. Or
ask them how old they are.
I thought that was absolutely wild and was totally prepared for you to tell me that that's a wrong. That's something I found on the internet that's stupid.
No, totally true. And I don't know if it's still true, but it used to be that when people would go hunting bears, you know, they would get a hunting permit and, you know, if they were lucky enough to catch a bear, one of the stipulations of their hunting permit was extracting one of the teeth and providing it to the Fish and Wildlife Service.
Ooh.
So they could get a good count on the age of the bears that you know, were being hunted. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. So next time, if you guys are in a fight with a bear and you want to know what you're dealing with.
Yeah, what have you been through? What have you seen?
Yeah, what their experience is, take out a tooth.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that story was very different from the Revenant bear, and I, like, grew up feeling like, you know, bear is friend, and really feel like maybe that was a bad piece of information to hand out.
Yeah.
Bears are in the worst packaging, because they look like they're going to be nice.
Yeah, that's so true. They look like a big, cuddly...
sweetheart. Yeah. And then they're going to rip you to
Teddy
death.
Roosevelt made them so cute, and he, of all people, knew better, you know?
Yeah, and Baloo. It's kind of Baloo's fault, also.
Oh, he's cool.
Bad branding. It says they're very smart, I saw a thing where they roll rocks into bear traps to set off the trap. So
that's nice. It's
pretty cool.
They go swimming in pools.
What kind of bear is Baloo?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, so yeah, that's when we get into these interesting biogeographical questions, right? So what kind of bear is Baloo? The only kind of bear that would be found in India is called a sloth bear. Which, you know, they are bears. They're in the bear family or city. But as it's depicted, is Baloo really a sloth bear? It doesn't look like it to me.
What's the difference between what he looks like and a sloth bear?
Well, so sloth bears, like all the other bears, they're kind of largish, but they have more kind of a tan-colored nose as opposed to the rest of the body, which is more of a dark black color. Mm.
Oh. And Baloo is clearly from New Orleans, clearly. From the jazz scene.
Yes, yeah, clearly.
And he's blue.
Yeah. Baloo is the most confusing bear because I do not know what he is.
Right. Then he goes on to become a pilot. Ugh, what a life he's lived.
That's a crazy life, yeah. I heard they can run twice as fast as humans.
For a limited amount of time, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Twice. But,
yeah,
as
which
fast.
Human? That's the thing. Me, probably for sure.
Yeah, I don't know if they picked out who they were doing it against. But okay, it says that the polar bear is a true carnivore, but that's the only one, that all other bears are omnivores.
Absolutely correct. Yeah, the polar bear is the only true carnivorous bear. They rely on ice seals for their protein. And yeah, all of the other bears, so the brown bears and black bears that we have here in North America, we would call them omnivores. Mm-hmm. The giant panda is in the bear family, so they primarily feed on bamboo leaves, but as well as insects and maybe occasional carrion, but still mostly omnivorous. And the sloth bear, so this bear that is supposed to occur in the Indian forests, are actually more of a specialist on ants and termites.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, he licks some ants in the movie.
So that is accurate.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. That is totally accurate.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. So they did some research there, probably.
A little bit, yeah.
Mild research.
They got lucky, I think.
They got lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got the color wrong, but.
Yeah. That bear is Baloo.
Baloo.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
I found him more gray, but maybe that was the video that I watched.
It could have been.
I don't know.
I could be wrong.
It's the acetate was just faded. You got an old version.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Old VHS. So obviously he gets along really well with Mowgli in this movie. And so, and kind of how we were talking about it, like, bears are really scary, actually. They're not this, like, cuddly bear. So you're moving your head like maybe it's somewhere in the middle.
Well, I would say somewhere in the middle. I mean, it's also legend, but maybe you guys remember Grizzly Adams, that TV show.
Yeah.
Growing up. And so this guy, Adams, whatever his first name was, Grizzly, he befriended the bears and they got along fine.
Okay.
Was that Bear Grylls guy? Was that his name? Bear Grylls?
Bear Grylls.
I think that's just his nickname.
No, I think that's just his name, but I'm not sure. Did you see him getting along with bears?
There was another guy that went and made friends with bears and he like videotaped it.
Oh, Werner Herzog movie. Isn't that Grizzly Man?
Grizzly Man. There we go.
But he was also killed by the bears.
But he was eventually killed by the bears.
Right, right. Is that, do you think it's one of those, like, what were you saying before, that there's, like, enough to go around, like, if, as long as there's, like, food and resources and stuff, that they won't kill us?
Well, any kind of wild animal is going to be unpredictable.
Okay.
And that's why I would definitely advise against trying to befriend a bear.
What if we're on a campsite, the four of us, and, which we can do after this if you guys want, I'm free, and a bear comes. What do you do?
We befriend him?
What if I raised that bear from being a little bear and then I released him and then I've come back and see him when we're camping?
Does he remember?
Yeah. So there are plenty of examples. Maybe not bear examples, but you might have seen these YouTube clips where, a big African lion was raised as a little cub by adults, but then released back in the wild, and like years later the human comes back and the lion comes running up and it looks like he's gonna eat him, but no, he gives him a big old hug.
Mm-hmm.
So
So it's possible.
That would
totally
be
possible.
Horrifying.
I yeah. would be horrified.
Yeah, because you don't find out which it's going to be until
the last
until
second.
You're either
it's
in
happening.
Heaven or
yeah.
or you're in a hug with the lion.
But to answer your question, yeah. so the typical response to a bear, mm-hmm. and almost like any wild mammal, is to make yourself look really big. Ooh. So extend your arms out,
okay.
and stand up as tall as you can and make a really loud, as loud as you can, scary voice.
Wow, really? I would hide.
That seems
except
like a joke.
If it's a
yeah,
if it's
it seems
a brown
like you
bear,
want me to die.
No, yeah. you just run.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What's the difference between a brown bear and a black bear that you would run from
the,
it?
The color? No, just kidding.
No, you have to go. You have to go.
That's, oh, you're out.
No. That's the common name is total misnomer. So black bears, the North American black bear, actually has a range of color morphs, color variations, everything from kind of a jet black to more of a brownish to even cinnamon, and they're even kind of whitish colored black bears. So
like all of these
the common name,
and he's just yeah. describing the color.
And yeah, I'm gonna call my hair cinnamon.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. But like, why would cinnamon. You run
I'm
from a brown cinnamon. Bear? Are they like just
what
more angry?
They're bigger, they're stronger, and yes, more aggressive.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So brown bears we think of as the grizzly bears.
Got it.
So then you don't even want to mess with it. You're out of there.
No.
How totally in the heat of the moment, how do you go, I run or I get big?
Oh, yeah, true. What's the telltale sign?
Well, so part of it would depend where you are, okay?
Okay.
So like if we're in our local mountains, we don't have grizzlies here in California anymore. So, yeah.
Anymore? We ship
not
them out?
Not good, poor things.
Export?
yeah. We ship them out. So
it's not working out with us, grizzly bears.
No, we killed them all in California.
Oh, I told so, you that. I know it's on the flag,
yeah,
but they're gone
yeah,
now.
It's the Whoa. State animal, state mammal. It's on the flag, you know, the Bear Republic.
We killed them all?
Humans killed them all, yeah. Yeah.
You hear that, guys?
We suck. We are the black market.
Yes. Elephant tusks, grizzly bears, you know, what else?
So, what jerks? Where else are there grizzly bears?
Throughout Alaska, and okay. of course, grizzlies are found in Montana and parts of Wyoming.
Okay.
Right?
And they're protected?
Well, so that's just been in the news in the past few days, if you haven't heard anything.
Oh,
so
friends.
So they have enjoyed protective status for a while now, and because their populations have rebounded a little bit.
We're killing them
we
again.
Said, let's get them back to that brink.
Certain government agencies have wanted to delist them.
Oh, great. So what's their reasoning?
I can only imagine.
That the populations have expanded enough that they're no longer endangered. But there was just a court hearing. It might have been earlier this week or maybe last week where there was an injunction. So they're temporarily still on the list.
Good.
So we'll see what happens.
Okay. Keep up to date on your grizzly.
You need to.
Court
yeah.
knowledge.
It's a moving
guys.
Target.
Yeah.
Okay, last bear thing here. Well, here's a small one real quick before that. It says the bear's sense of smell is around 100 times greater than humans.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
So could you ward it off with a crazy smell that they hate?
Yes, you can. They have bear spray in Montana.
Oh, they
you
do.
Can buy it.
Okay.
It's expensive.
They do have bear spray, yeah.
Yes.
What's it made of? Why do they hate it?
It's actually like pepper spray, like mace.
Oh, so
yeah.
then I totally get
if,
why
yeah,
they
if you
hate
get
it.
Close enough to a bear, pepper spray it, then just go ahead.
I mean, listen, I would be much more inclined if you told me, like, spray this bear spray expensive pepper spray mace than stand up and yell and act tall.
Yeah,
then
that
I
acting
bite
big
my head off.
I can't even
well,
do
that,
that
advice is if you don't have the bear spray on you.
Right,
okay?
Exactly.
All right.
Okay, so pepper sprays or whatever, bear spray you
yeah.
should bring with you.
Yeah.
Okay. In China, 8,000 bears are kept on bear farms. And they're bred and kept in captivity so that bile from the gallbladders can be extracted for medical use. The bile is removed from the live animal through a catheter surgically implanted into the gallbladder. You know about this?
Yeah. Yeah, that's totally true.
Okay. That's
yeah.
crazy to me.
Does it work?
Of course not.
Oh my gosh.
Not. Okay, you guys, since China came up, I have to say this.
Yep.
So I just came back from China, and in China, I got to hold a baby tiger.
Whoa.
for $8.
That's American. A great deal.
That's a bargain.
Oh, yeah. I was expecting it to be like $100, and even then I would have said sure.
Yeah.
But they said $8, and I was like, okay, 100%, I'm doing this.
Uh-huh.
But you guys, there was a baby tiger that was awake that you had to like put on these like gloves.
Sure.
And you had to like have a thing on your lap. And you could hold it, but you had to hold it, like, facing away from you.
Of course.
And then, but next to it, there was a sleeping baby tiger. I am 100% sure this tiger was drugged, because it was asleep, and no one was around it, just asleep. And then, so you could pay to either hold the baby tiger that was awake, or sit and pet the baby tiger that was asleep.
Wow.
Yes.
I think you chose the right one.
But you could not do both. Unless you paid for both, and I don't want to be.
Is there a time limit, like $8 buys you 30 seconds?
Yes, it was a very quick time.
Wow.
But it was, I only held this baby tiger was, I think, 8 weeks old.
Oh.
And I was so afraid.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be so fun, and it was like fun, but scary fun.
Yeah.
I was like, this tiger is so strong, and I am not.
Yeah, and it's 2 months old.
Yeah.
I would be. It's just funny to me, I guess, to charge someone to hold something for a short period of time.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That seems like a funny business to manage.
Well, the whole animal park, there's not enough time on this podcast. But
to talk about, it was like a tiger park. And it reminds me of this bear. I'm like, this is what's going on. And tiger bones are a really big deal there. They like think it like holds special healing power.
Whoa.
So a lot of people think this place stays alive because of the tiger bones that go through that place.
Crazy. Can we just talk about healing power for a second, Ben?
Because
we got this thing with the bears that I thought was nuts. This sounds crazy to me. Tiger bones that heal. And I just learned recently that cats purr, like their purring actually heals their body.
Whoa.
Can you tell me about that?
I'm skeptical.
Okay. It's good to be skeptical, but yeah. It seemed like it was like a documentary. I was watching a pretty serious thing here.
Yeah,
and it said that they
have documentaries with, you know, mermaids or come on.
Yeah, I guess that's true. One of my favorites, but Splash, the documentary.
Splash, the documentary about mermaids.
Okay. Sorry, Tom Hanks.
Well, we'll follow up with that because I don't know. I was amazed by that, and I don't know why we can't just heal ourselves. I guess maybe meditation is like we're healing ourselves.
We heal ourselves all the time.
Yeah, like your body's amazing.
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
But also, like, how long do you have to, like, how long ago did you have to start getting in on, like, this healing power, like
yeah, tiger bones.
Like, a bid. Like, who's like, oh, tiger bones? I don't know. It's tiger bones. You know, like, or ivory.
It sounds
like,
good.
How do you go, like, oh, tiger bones? Those are very old news. You know what works now? Penicillin. Penicillin is great. It will heal so much stuff. Tiger bones? Ugh. Don't even care about them. Also, hard to get.
Yeah. You have to hang out with them for days and days.
Penicillin? Just mold. You can grow it as much as you want.
So you need to be like the spokeswoman for the World Wildlife Fund.
Oh, I'll call them.
Yeah, that's a good job.
Yeah.
Can we just call them?
New plan. Scratch this. We just go ahead and... Okay, all right, we'll talk about this later. Good job, mammalogist.
We'll talk about it offline.
You get all the points for that.
He's our new mentor.
I love that. I've combined you guys.
Yep.
Finally, the panther, the Black Panther in the movie, Bagheera. A very mysterious figure. So one of the things that I found weird was that usually panthers are actually jaguars or leopards, and they're like misunderstood as panthers. Can you tell me about that?
They're misunderstood as panthers?
It says most of the time that you see a panther that it's not a panther, that you're looking at a jaguar or a leopard, like the Florida panther. I'm from Florida, and... Our hockey team is the Florida Panthers.
Okay.
And that it's not a panther, that it's a cougar.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is where.
Couldn't believe that.
This is where common names get really wacky. And that's why scientists tend to use the scientific name, you know, the binomial. So for our local mountain lion, it's Puma concolor. Mm. That's the same species as the so called Black Panther Florida Panther.
Oh.
So
it's called both.
Well, the thing with the common names is they have a lot of geographic variability to them. So, you know, what they might be calling them in Florida in the past is actually the same species as what we call the mountain lion or the cougar or the puma. They all refer to the same species.
Like the skunk ape and the Bigfoot. Don't worry. I'm a different, I'm a cryptozoologist. I didn't tell you guys that. But
the Sasquatch.
Sasquatch, it's called the skunk ape in Florida, which I feel like we could have done better. Ethan, I don't know.
No, we...
I don't know. Skunk ape sounds awesome to me.
It sounds like a good tourist trap.
Yeah.
I'll give you that much.
Yeah.
Okay, it says the panther is a very solitary animal and usually lives, hunts, and travels alone. The one exception to this rule is during the mating season. When she's ready to mate, the female panther will leave scent markings for the male to follow and also makes a sawing sound to let him know where she is.
And that she'll kill his ass.
Well, kind of. I mean,
she's building a house for her children to live in.
You better not leave her.
Because she can't count on no man.
I mean, you guys aren't that far off. It says after they've mated, the pair will rarely stay together for more than a few days.
Yeah.
Nice.
Absolutely true. Yeah, all of that. Okay. You have a good resource there.
Sweet. Finally.
Internet.
Google.
Yeah, pretty much. That's very interesting to me, and I didn't know that they were such feminists, but that's very cool. They are independent. I don't know.
They have no need for a man, just the sperm. That's it.
Yep.
Yep. Give me your sperm.
Ladies.
Get out of here.
Take notes.
I want to be taken care of.
I'm trying to get that man jaguar to build a house.
Yeah.
I mean, him to be making that sawing noise.
I can build a house. I will build a house, but I'd rather him do it. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much.
And need him to not stay outside of the 32-mile area of territory.
It says the North American Black Panther is a cryptid. Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
What? Can you explain that to me?
Well, you should ask the cryptozoologist here what a cryptid is.
Yeah. It means they're made up.
Right. Yeah. So what's that about? Their existence is not proven?
Yeah. What they're calling the North American Black Panther?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is no...
That's just a term people made up because it just looks like what it should be?
Well,
like it looks like a Black Panther?
So what is the Black Panther is actually the puma that has a black color morph found in the southeast. Very rarely, I might add. So the mountain lion or puma or cougar, whatever we want to call it, has had historically a very wide distribution throughout North America and actually down through Central America and into South America. But because people are afraid of mountain lions...
You should be. I'm very afraid of them.
You know, they've basically been extirpated throughout most of North America.
Okay. They call them ghosts of the forest.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that we're losing.
Because they're not
real. Right, exactly. And it says that we're, like, losing almost all of them to deforestation.
Yeah. So the two big threats of not just our big cats around here, but all mammals, all animals, even... trees. The big threats are deforestation or destroying of their habitat, and competition from humans, and then direct killing of these animals.
Gotcha.
So,
if you're camping and you see a mountain lion,
make yourself look big.
Make yourself
really?
Look big.
That's the move?
Yeah.
No spray.
Well, if you have spray, great. But
always carry spray.
You hear instances of these people that are on mountain bikes in say the Santa Monica Mountains or down in Orange County, and what the mountain lion is keying in on is this fast moving thing running away or biking away from it. So their vision is that's prey. It's running from me. That is prey. That's a deer. I'm going to chase it down.
Whoa.
So
turn around.
Yeah.
And run back.
Or just stop, I guess.
Is that, I've heard it said that like with a bear you run, but with a cat you make sure that it knows that you see it.
Yeah. Because they are stalking prey. Okay. And that's the mode of hunting that they engage in. So stalking, sneaking up, and then when they're close enough, they will pounce out. So if you make it known to that animal that you've been, you see them, okay, and you don't run away, you're not keying in that behavior that makes them think that you are prey.
Wow.
So, and all naturally they are afraid of humans. So by making it known that you see that that mountain lion and making yourself bigger.
Making a bunch of noise.
Yeah, making a bunch of noise, scaring
what
it
if
away.
What if you have a laser pointer?
That sounds good.
That's even better.
Yeah, I was going to say, that can't
it'll,
hurt,
it'll
right?
Just chase that little laser pointer
around. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Bring some catnip with you. Have a party.
Have a party. Going to be best friends with them. Okay, great. You guys have any more questions for Dr. Jim?
I think I asked him all my insane questions.
Okay. Do you have pets?
I do. I have a dog and a cat.
And they get along?
Actually, yeah, quite well. Yeah.
Okay. So that's a good example.
Plenty of resources over at Jim's house.
Yeah, plenty of resources.
Oh, I do have a question. Have you ever seen a dodo? Like the remains of one? That's one that I'm very upset that I'll never get to see one in real life.
Yeah, I've never seen the remains of a dodo. No. Sorry.
But what about in your refrigerator, though?
What about in your staff fridge? You got that dodo in there? Ugh,
not
that's
allowed,
all I want
to
see.
Not allowed to say. Okay.
Yeah, shh.
Do you drink milk?
No, but I eat a lot of cheese.
Okay.
So, same thing.
Yeah. Gotta move. Yeah.
We're going camping, guys.
Yeah.
It's hard to avoid the taste of cheese as humans.
Yeah.
What's with that? They're salty, they're sweet, there's so many kinds of cheese, they're fatty.
It helps when you're sad.
It's
restores
true.
Your brain, that's what fats do. Sure, it heals your brain.
She's the nutritionist.
Your myelin chief, yeah.
And a cryptozoologist.
I know. Yeah. I've done nothing Double. With my life. She's done two things.
I've been busy learning about animals that do not exist. Chupacabra, yetis.
We're going to have you back on. Skunk apes.
Yeah, let me know the next time you need a specialist, and it's going to be me for a movie. Oh, Shape of Water. You know, let me know.
Oh, great. I just saw Shape of Water. So
I have some psychological things to talk through about that.
Oh, great. So we'll have you as the psychologist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's perfect.
You can ask me your questions.
No, I don't have questions. I have answers.
She's got answers. She knows what's up. Okay, what about plugs? You guys want to tell everyone about what you're doing?
Everything you ever need to know about us is on erinandmelissa.com, E-R-I-N and Melissa.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have a short film there. We have two albums there. We have a couple of podcasts there. And our running show list
is there.
So everything is there. Everything but our home address. So don't ask for
that. And you know what? It actually might be on there, too.
Just email them and you guys will give it to them, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
If you got science facts that you need to know about, nothing that the mammalogist would actually be able to answer. Just made up animals.
Send it to us.
We can do it.
Okay. And if I get any, I'll just forward it to you guys.
Thank you.
Yes, no problem.
Dr. Jim?
Oh, I get a plug?
Of course. Whoa,
wow. So, I work at the Natural History Museum of Los Angeles County. So I would invite everyone listening to come check out our fantastic exhibits. Mm-hmm. We have an exhibit right now. It's called Wildlife Photographer of the Year. So some spectacular photographs of mostly mammals doing some pretty incredible things.
Great. When is that running until?
Through, I think, December of this year.
Great. Okay. So get a move on, guys.
Yeah, get a move on.
Deal.
Okay. Sweet. Thank you guys for joining me. I had a great time, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bad Science is hosted and produced by me, Ethan Edinburgh, and of course, our executive producer is Bagheera Kushner. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Bad Science Show. And also, of course, send us an email at badscience@seeker.com. That's badscience@seeker.com. Let us know what movies you'd like us to do or anything that you think that I've missed. And of course, be sure to subscribe if you are not subscribed and rate and review our show. That helps people find the show. And tell your friends. We really appreciate that. And I really appreciate you listening to the program. I'll see you next week. Bye.